precious name.
We're glad to be
here again today
and to worship the Lord and
share together. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer again before we go on. Our Father in heaven, this morning we again worship you. You are our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the great Savior of mankind. We thank you, Father, for your holy word. And we pray that you would anoint it this morning, that you would touch each one here today, that you would speak to our hearts as we look into your word today. We love you. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
This morning I appreciated Brother Mark's testimony. It has something to do with the thought that I had on the message today. Why did you go out and look at that sight in the sky that morning?
Because we were expecting.
Okay, but you were influenced by your brother. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning is some mysterious influences that we have in our lives and in the church, in our homes, that there are some things that God has ordained in the Word of God that are mysterious in the sense that they are supernatural. They're beyond our human power to explain. And an influence is the power of a person or a thing to produce an effect in other. And that's what happened to Brother Mark. His brother influenced him to look at the skies. And we do that to each other, hopefully, in the church. And in life, that there are influences that go out from our life and from each of us, where we influence each other in different ways. And hopefully, that with God's Spirit ruling in our hearts, that our influences can be for the edification and the building up of the body. And so we want to look at a few of these things. One of them I thought about this morning as I was sitting here that I really hadn't thought too much about is simply the preaching of the Word. Do you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul wrote about preaching? In verse 21, he says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So I feel that God ordained the preaching of the Word. I think it's something that it's powerful. It's something that is God ordained to influence people to become saved. God saves people through the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the Word is something that, and I think it concerns me whenever we get too far removed from the preaching that we, that it becomes a time we're constantly having discussion, but we need preaching. Preaching of the Word is ordained of God for the salvation of souls. It says right here in 1 Corinthians. I remember hearing that taught years ago, how that God-ordained preaching. You know, there's a lot of other methods that we can use. We think we want, we can use, we do tract work, we do personal witnessing, we do a lot of other things. But yet, God ordained that preaching is a method by where people become saved. I know it's not the only way you can reach people, but it is a powerful tool of influencing lives. It is the way God uses to influence people to become saved. We see it especially in the book of Acts, how that the preaching was the powerful tool that's brought thousands to salvation. So I think we should not minimize the importance of the preaching of the Word. Another one of those mysterious influences is simply the power of a Spirit-filled life. It is awesome how that the when the Spirit of God moves in a person, it affects those around them. It moves out and it reaches out and it spreads like a fire would spread. It's beautiful how that revival will spread from one to another. It's an influence where God uses, He works through one person to another in bringing revival in the hearts of men. I want to read in Isaiah chapter 44. Verse 3, here God says, I will pour out water upon men, upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. We see here God promising to pour out his Spirit upon a person, and it goes beyond that person. It goes to his seed and to his offspring and those that are around him. God's Holy Spirit is poured out. Whenever there is a revival poured out, it spreads to those around him. It goes beyond that individual. It reaches out and it touches others. It's beautiful to see how this happens. And we see the requirement for this to happen, here in this verse, it says, I will pour out unto him that is thirsty. You know, if we have thirsty hearts, God will pour out his Spirit upon us. Now, I think the problem so many times today is we are so self-sufficient. We have everything we need. We have everything under our control, and we think we're okay. We don't need anything more. Therefore, we don't get thirsty and we don't get hungry. So we don't get revival. But when we get thirsty and hungry, when we see our need of God, we see our need of in our lives, we see the emptiness of our heart. We get thirsty, we cry out to God for His presence in our life. God will move and pour out His presence upon the thirsty soul, upon the thirsty heart. So this morning, I just encourage us, let's open our hearts to God and let God pour His Spirit as we get thirsty before God. Let's cry out to God and open our hearts to Him. He will pour out His water upon us. He will pour out His blessing upon us. He will fill us with His grace, with His love, with His Spirit. But the requirement is that we must be thirsty. We must be hungry. And when God does that, that spreads out and it goes out to others. It reaches out and revival spreads from one to another. We had an experience here this summer with, we had an online prayer meeting with the young people. And I was so blessed. One after the other. They started opening their hearts and making comments of how desiring to have a reality with Christ and one after the other, it just kept spreading around the circle, and we were praying and reaching out to God, and it was such a beautiful thing whenever that desire and that thirst spreads from one to the other, and God's blessing comes poured out, not just upon one person, but upon the people around them. It's a divine influence. It's a mysterious influence. It's something we don't understand. It's something we can't figure out. But it's divine influence of God upon the lives of people. And God help us that we could experience more of it. True joy comes from this kind of a thirst after God. And this kind of revival brings forth fruitfulness. It brings forth true righteousness in our lives. It brings the power of God upon our hearts. This is just one aspect of the mysterious movings of God. The mysterious influence that God works in the hearts of men. True Spirit-filled power. Baptism of God. The Spirit moving in the lives of people. It will move out and beyond the circle. And it will draw men in. Include others in that revival. God help us to experience more of that. And my concern this morning that we are so too, we're rich, we're satisfied, we're filled, and we have everything we need, and we don't have that thirsty heart. We must have a thirsty heart after God. We must be hungry and thirsty. God will fill a thirsty heart. Let's come to God with our cups turned up. God, feed me. Fill me. And He will pour out His blessing upon us. Another one I'd like to look at is in Psalms chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, first couple verses. Here we see the example of the influence of a godly example. You know, when here it says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Here we see a man that has taken a position. He will stand not with the sinners, but he will stand with the righteous. He walketh not in the way of sinners. He sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. And he is an example of a heart after God, example of a thirsty heart, one who delights in the law of the Lord, one who has a desire after God, who loves the Word of God, who loves the ways of God. Said he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, bringing forth fruit in his life. That's powerful. And Christian life that is planted by the waters, that is absorbing the moisture out of the waters and receiving grace of God, flowing through it and reaching out, bringing forth fruit and blessing others. This is the influence of a godly example. Another verse that came to my mind in thinking of this is in Titus 2:10. where it talks about adorning the doctrines of God our Savior in all things. You know, if we make the gospel of Jesus Christ beautiful, we make it attractive. To adorn means to increase the beauty of, to enhance. If we take the doctrines of Christ and we keep preaching them as laws, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this, you have to do that, you make it a hard way, and it does not enhance the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But whenever we have the get-to spirit, whenever we have a privilege to be a child of God, we're excited about the blessings of God and the promises of God. When it's a beautiful thing to walk in the ways of God, it adorns the doctrines of the gospel, and it encourages others to follow in that way. It is a beautiful example, a life that is living in the fullness of the blessing of God and is fruitful and bringing forth fruit and living in the joy and the peace of God. It is a life that others see and they were drawn and attracted to it. Christianity is not a hard, boring burden, but it is a life of joy and peace. It is a life that is exciting. It's a life that is thrilling. It's a life that is powerful. It's beyond anything that the world has to offer. The world's activities and thrills are dead compared to the thrills of seeing God move in the lives and changing lives and changing hearts. There's nothing that the world has to offer that is more exciting than that. And I just encourage us all that we might live our lives in a way that men would see and know that it's exciting, that it's worth living, that it's powerful, that it is the power of God. Whenever we love the Word of God, we love the Word of God. I've never been so baptized in the Word of God as I was since Ron Mott got saved. I think we've read almost the whole New Testament together. Every day he wants to read chapter after chapter after chapter. And it's so exciting to be in love with the Word of God. It is powerful. It is awesome. To love to go to prayer meeting. When we have a desire to be there, we want to be there. We want to be with the brethren. We want to be in church. We love the brethren. We appreciate our leaders. We're excited about witnessing. We have a burden for the lost, and we're concerned about the ways of that we have our heart is reaching out to touch the lost, and we're actively involved in the work of God, and we love it. We enjoy it. It is a powerful influence to those around us. It spreads. It will spread among us if we have that kind of a charisma among us. But if church is a monotony, if we don't enjoy it, we go home and we complain about the preachers and we complain about the message and we complain about the people, we're going to destroy it. We're going to have a destructive influence to those around us. But when our heart is in love with the Word of God, we're in love with the Church of God, we're in love with the people of God, and everybody knows that that's where we are, it will have a positive influence on those around us. Praise God. We love the practices of the Word of God. That would be the doctrines of God. The things that we do, the things that the Word teaches us. We do it because we love it. We do it because we enjoy it. We do it because it's right. We do it because we know it's right. And we have peace and joy in our hearts because of it. That is powerful. And we love the fruits of God. The fruits of the Spirit come forth from our life. Our life is fruitful, like the tree planted by the waters with the fruits of love, joy, and peace. Producing from our life, it brings glory to God, and it draws people together. When you show love to others, think of it, when you go to town and you see someone walking down the street with a heavy frown on their face, and if you say, smile at them and say good morning, what kind of an influence does it have on them? It brightens up their day. They'll smile back at you, usually. It's the influence that spreads. The influence of a godly life will spread and affect those around us in many ways. If our service to God is a get-to privilege, it will affect others. When we love to be involved in mission work, we love to be involved in witnessing, we love to be involved in our church services, when preaching is not a burden but a blessing and a privilege, when having devotions is a privilege, we love to do it. We don't have to make someone do it. But when people are ready and willing and excited about the Word of God and ready to share whenever there's opportunity, it's beautiful, it's a blessing, it's attractive, and it has an influence in the church and on those around us that is mysterious. Yes, it's mysterious and it's powerful. I guess one more I'd like to look at is the mysterious influence of prayer. Powerful, prevailing prayer. Matthew chapter 7. You know, the Bible is so full of promises that God will answer prayer. Matthew 7. Verse 7 and 8 says, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And unto him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe the Word of God this morning? Do you believe that God answers prayer? It's powerful. It is a promise. And I can say I've experienced many answered prayers in my lifetime. I remember different times of taking an old list of prayer requests from 5-6 years ago. And then looking over that request, things we prayed for back then, and see how many of those prayers have been answered. It's amazing. God does hear and answer prayer. God answers many prayers. He hears our cry. You know, sometimes it doesn't happen just exactly when we think it should and the way we think it should. But I know God does answer prayers. And He's still answering prayers. And He's going to answer more prayers. When we come by faith, revival is always a result of prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer is when we agonize in prayer. When we're thirsting after God, and we're in agony with God, and we continue on and on in praying and seeking God until He pours His blessing upon us. Revival always came by prevailing prayer. Souls can be touched and changed by prayer all around the world. I think of the experience of Ricardo and Rosa. I know we were praying here for her health, and for her baby. And God blessed them beautifully. with a healthy baby and with a healthy healthy wife, healthy mother, healthy baby, beyond what the doctors could comprehend. It made headlines in the newspapers in Honduras. They had it beyond anything that they could explain. All they could say is a miracle. They answered prayers. And, you know, this morning we prayed. We prayed for those Christians over in the Muslim countries, Christians around the world. I believe God's going to answer those prayers. I believe He's going to reach down and touch somebody for cause of that. We prayed for President Obama. I don't know what God's going to do there. But we believe that God's able to answer that prayer too. God does, and He will. Even if there was a time, if ever there was a time when prayer was needed, it is now. I think of different testimonies of answered prayer. Remember a couple years ago, Brother Willard wasn't doing well. And we had an anointing service here. Well, he's up and going strong. The Lord answered that prayer, didn't He? Many of our prayers, my own health. I know I'm simply a testimony of answered prayer. God does hear and answer our prayers in many, many ways, many times. Remember about a year ago, I was very burdened for a certain individual. And one morning especially, I was so heavy in my heart, I just could hardly function right. I was so burdened and so distressed. I was at work that morning and after that, a man of God came to the door and he started praising the Lord. It was a man I hardly know. And he was talking about what the Lord's doing, and I just opened up and dumped out my heart to him. I told him, I'm standing here this morning, I'm so extremely burdened. I said, I'm so heavy-hearted, I said, for this certain situation. I said, I know God hears and answers prayer, but he came up to me, he said, well, let's pray right now. And he lays hands on me, we started praying, and I told him about it, and he said, he shook hands with me. He said, I'm going to join with you in praying for this situation. He said, whenever the prayer is answered, you call me up and tell me about it. Well, it wasn't more than about 6 weeks I was able to call him up and tell him that prayer was answered. It was awesome. God does answer prayers, and He will answer prayers. And He wants to answer our prayers today. It is a mysterious influence. It is the power of God. God is not far away. God is right near. He's here. He wants to touch lives. He wants to touch our hearts today. Pray for revival. Many things that we should pray for. Pray for the rulers. Pray for the unsaved. Pray for our young children coming up. Think of the things that they're going to face in the world 15, 20 years from now if the Lord tarries. We need to be praying for them now. Pray that God will keep them. God will give them strength. God will give them grace. Pray for the church leaders, for the missionaries. Pray for the people in distress. Think of those places where there's earthquakes and floods and many people around the world are suffering today because of natural disasters. Think of the schools, the sick, the suffering saints that we prayed for this morning. God hears and answers prayer this morning. It is a powerful instrument that God uses to influence others. And my prayer this morning is that every one of us would pour our hearts out to God. What God could do if we all have that burden with our agonizing prayer. We agonize before God and cry out to God. Remember a couple years ago, before Aiden was saved, remember I had a time of agonizing prayer one time, and I shared with Brother Tim Kaufman. He said he had the same experience. Seemed like we prayed, had that time of prayer, and it seemed like God gave a witness in our hearts that God was going to answer that prayer. We both had that same experience, and we shared that together. And after it happened, after Tim was converted, we shared that. We just talked about it here recently again, how that God answered in our hearts before it ever happened. God does that. God will give us a witness in our hearts. He will touch our lives, and He will answer our prayers, and we can have that rest and assurance that He's in control and He's going to make it happen in the way that He sees best. So it's my encouragement this morning that every one of us would just be in touch with God. Allow that Spirit of God to be a part of our life. That we would come thirsting before God. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and to cleanse us and to sanctify us and to experience that true burden of revival in our hearts, and that God would move and that souls would be saved, that the church would be built, lives would be changed. You know, these tools are in our hands. These tools are in our access. And our problem is too many times we're just too lazy. We just don't care. We're just too satisfied the way we are. We don't care about people like we should. We don't care about the hurting. We don't care like we should. So my challenge to every one of us today, that we would take these things that God has made available to us, that we would cry out to God, experience God in our lives in reality, be an example of holiness and righteousness, be an example that men would see that Christianity is not a drudgery. The Christianity, the Christian life, is the most powerful life that anyone can live upon the face of the earth. There's nothing comparable. There's no other God that answers prayer like our God. There's no other God in the world that can satisfy the soul like our God. There's no God that is able to answer, to fill our needs and to influence lives like our God. Yes, there are those negative influences out there. Satan is powerful too. He's out there influencing souls in the wrong way. Too many times we see the church influenced by the world instead of the world influenced by the church. And that's the reason, is because we're too lazy, we're too self-sufficient, we don't care. We're resting in our leaves and we're not prevailing in prayer. We're not desperate after God. We're not seeking for revival. We don't care. We don't care. That's too much the problem today. So my challenge to all of us this morning, let's get serious with God. Let's get desperate with God. God will, God does, and He will answer our prayers. He will move. He will change lives. He will make a difference. God will make a difference if we allow Him to work through us in that way. Let's kneel for a word of prayer at this time. Almighty God, we come to You this morning. We confess our negligence. We confess our carelessness before You. Lord, we confess our need of You. Lord, we are thirsty.
for more of you. And we pray, God, that you would fill our hearts today with your presence, that you would fill us with the influence of the Holy Spirit, that each one in this church today would experience your power and grace in your life, that we would be able to walk in holiness with you, that we would adorn the doctrines of the Bible, that your name be glorified, that your purpose be accomplished, that your influences would go out and change lives today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.